This is According to Jim with Jim Joyner and Steve Sell, McPherson's sports talk show.
Let's do this thing.
Listen Monday through Friday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. on 96.7 FM KBBE or online at midkansasonline.com.
I'm not familiar with rap. Give me Hendrix any day and I'll go from there.
According to Jim is your home for the McPherson Bullpups.
Bullpups win! Bullpups win! Bullpups win it in overtime!
The Chiefs.
Butker's kick is up! It is right down the boulevard! And Harrison Butker kicks some, you know what!
College football and college basketball.
Eight to shoot, Hall, the runner! Loose ball! It's good! The slipper still fits!
And everything else happening in the sports world.
And the Bullpups walk it off here at McPherson Stadium! This place is going crazy!
Now it's time for According to Jim. Here's Jim Joyner and Steve Sell.
Let's do this thing, a Wednesday edition of According to Jim here on 96.7 FM, KBBE, or for those listening online all over the world at midkansasonline.com. I'm Jim Joyner. Joining me as always, the most popular man in McPherson, Steve Sell. Steve, I think you've been the most popular man today after a couple of bullpup wins. People have been itching and trying to get that bullpup news after their wins against Andover last night. The phones have been ringing off the hook. They've been going to our website, midkansasonline.com, because they got to know what happened as the girls won 48-45 and the boys won 69-34. Both teams are 5-1, and now they get 2 weeks off with a holiday break.
Yeah, and the games were done so early last night that the stories were up by 10 o'clock.
We didn't even have to leave early.
The games were very fast. Great couple of games, though, for the girls. It was a good test. We got to see how they could grind through a game without their A game, and they were able to pull off. Never did trail in the game, but, the margin never got the double figures. Bullpups twice had a 9-point lead, and Andover was just pesky enough to keep it close, and the Bullpups just 7 out of 30 from 3-point. That's very uncharacteristic for them. You won't see them shoot like that in a game the rest of the year. And then as far as the boys' game, and if you go to my column, Sell on Sports at midkansasonline.com, I give my views on the Bullpup boys. Right now, this team is just playing at an unbelievable level. It's almost like the Bishop-Miege game, was kind of a Kickstarter for them. They realize they weren't invincible and they have to go out and work a little harder. And these games since Miege have just been nothing short of demolition.
We will talk about that a little bit later on in the show, but first we wanted to hit some headlines. And one of the weirder headlines that happened last night is I just told you to do some research on it. So everybody is familiar with Mr. Marlins Man, who is the guy that wears the big orange Marlins jacket and his visor, and he goes to all the big sporting events and sits behind the front row. Well, the Marlins and their new CEO type of role for Derek Jeter, they decided we're going to hold a town hall meeting for all the season ticket holders. And because Marlins Man had not renewed his season tickets yet, the Marlins said, well, you're not invited until you do that.
And he's been a ticket holder since 1993.
And Marlins Man did not like that a whole lot. So he eventually started complaining to some of the radio stations and the media outlets and going, hey, I didn't even get invited. And Marlins Man is kind of a big deal nationally as well as locally there in Miami. And so he finally gets his way into the town hall meeting. And Derek Jeter is up there talking about all the decisions they've made. I mean, you look at what they've done. They've gotten rid of Giancarlo Stanton. They've gotten rid of Marcell Ozuna. They're just getting rid of their best players for almost nothing in return.
And that is two-thirds of what was the best outfield in baseball. You put Christian Yelich with them, and nobody in baseball had a better outfield than the Marlins did last year.
And then, finally, we got the face-off that everybody's been wanting to see. Some people really wanted to see that Mayweather-McGregor fight. I wanted to see the Jeter-Marlins Man fight. So they finally get to face off, and Marlins Man sort of makes the egotistical comment of, do you know who I am? And Derek Jeter responded with, yeah, I've heard of you.
Ugh.
And I think Marlins Man has this big idea that he wants to make Marlins Man Mondays at Marlins games where he can ride around in a car and throw out the first pitch and do all this weird stuff. Now, this has been a weird topic on the internet for the last 12 hours, and I do respect a lot of what Marlins Man does, especially for the brand of the Miami Marlins. He helps people kind of think about them. He goes to almost every single Marlins game. He gives away a lot of tickets. He does a lot of good. But Marlins Man has a little bit of an ego, and I can see why somebody with his type of personality and the way that he conducts his business of sports watching is a little weird.
He must have a lot of money, though.
Oh, yeah, he's got a ton of money.
Yeah, okay. There has to be a reason, you know, that he can go to all these things. But, you know, Derek Jeter, Mr. Yankee, you know, pride of the Yankees.
Derek Jeter.
Yeah, Derek Jeter. And, you know, he was such a iconic figure in New York. Well, he's gone down to Miami, and right now he is his popularity rating is probably in the single digits. The first thing he did was get rid of the only, you know, real franchise draw they had in Giancarlo Stanton. Of course, he went to the Yankees, which really, you know, they traded him to the Yankees, which really upset the Marlins fans. They didn't get much in return. And then they traded Marcell Ozuna to the Cardinals, which I was happy to see. The Cardinals basically stole him. They gave up one really good pitching prospect, but pitching prospects, you never know. I mean, Kyle Zimmer was a pitching prospect for the Royals,
woo-hoo,
and they thought he was going to be in their rotation for 10 years. He hasn't even, you know, seen the light of day in the majors, you know, on a consistent basis. So Jeter's come in, basically slashed the payroll, traded all the good players away. They still got Christian Yelich. He wants to be traded. Their catcher wants to be traded. All the play, it's almost like a team mutiny, and the Marlins will probably be nothing more than a Triple-A team masquerading as a major league team next year.
Another big headline from last night, a guy that we've talked about a little bit on this show, and especially this week after his game against Wichita State, Trey Young. So the Oklahoma Sooners, who have now jumped into the top 25 at number 17, they were taking on Northwestern State. Steve, can you tell me where Northwestern State is located?
I don't know. I'm guessing Tonkawa.
Is that a state or is that a city?
That's a city in Oklahoma.
Northwestern State is actually in Louisiana.
Okay.
It is in the wonderful town of Natchitoches, which I don't think you could spell it. It's okay. A very weird spelling. Okay. But Northwestern State goes to Norman and loses 105-68, which I think a lot of people would expect. But you have to take a look at the final line for Trey Young.
Oh,
and what
crazy
he has been doing. So he scores 26 points. He's the nation's leading scorer. That's not a big surprise. But what was a big surprise, he had 22 assists, which set a Big 12 record. It tied the NCAA Division I record, and he only had 4 turnovers. Trey Young, over the span of the last 2 weeks, has become the most talked about person in college basketball.
Yeah, he's kind of become the Lonzo Ball of last year, but he's actually probably got more
talent.
You think
there's a LeVar Young, his dad,
I don't think,
who will be on
I don't
the
think there is, but you know, I was watching the highlights, and ESPN, you know, at college basketball, I just wonder if they hand assists out like candy, you know, just like, man, you know, he makes a pass, and then a guy dribbles 4 times, makes a shot, and you give him an assist. These were legit assists. I mean, most of them were passes on guys that didn't even have to dribble. You know, they just took it and shot it. And a lot of them were no-look passes. And then it got at the point where I think he knew he was piling up just a stupid number of assists. He had a couple breakaways, and he waited for his teammates to come down so he could hand them the ball and they could score on a dunk or a layup. So really, there were some cheesy assists kind of in there. But Trey Young is an unbelievable talent. He's kind of a smaller version of Steph Curry. And, you know, really the two probably the most talented basketball players in the country are Trey Young and then the kid Bagley from Duke, who's actually should be a high school senior. They're probably the two best players in the country, and they'll go 1 and 2. I'm not sure, though, if Bagley can even come out next year because I'm not sure he's going to be 19 by next year. You have to be 19.
I don't think so. I think it's just 1 year removed from your high school class of what it would be.
Okay. So I thought for some reason there was a rule you had to be 19. But again, the freshmen are the best players in the country and just shows what a rare talent they are. But Trey Young, you know, KU, it was between OU and KU, and he just went back and forth, back and forth. But he's from Norman. He grew up an OU fan, and not even Bill Self's considerable charm could lure him away. But could you imagine a backcourt of Devontae Graham and Trey Young?
Whew.
Yikes. I mean, KU wouldn't lose a game with, you know, with that backcourt. And then, of course, a lot of KU news going on. Silvio D'Souza, the big 6'9", 250-pounder out of IMG down in Florida.
Uh-huh.
Bill Self seems to be very positive that he will be ready when they play Texas next week.
Now, he's got to pass his finals.
He's got to pass his finals, but
he's got a real tough geometry test to take today.
Yeah, but he seems to think it's going to be a piece of cake. He's from Angola, and you know, he's just got, you look at him, and he's a physical specimen, and that's really what KU needs. Billy Preston, who knows about him? I'll tell you, that must be the most valuable car in the history of mankind, you know, that he scuffed up. And you just wonder, if Billy Preston had not had a wreck, what would be going on with KU? Would they be? Would someone unearth this car dilemma? And he'd played 9 games by now, and KU would find out they'd have to forfeit a bunch of games. You know, it's just his bad driving opened up a Pandora's box.
Yeah, driver's ed is really important for all you recruits. The other college basketball news, Wichita State had a shocker. Ooh, that was a pretty good one there, as they almost lost to Arkansas State last night. They won 89-80. They trailed at the half and gave up 50 points in the first half.
What has happened to the Shocker defense?
I don't know.
I haven't seen, you know, I saw a lot of their OU game. That was just Trey Young. But I didn't see the game last night. But for them to give up to 50 points to Arkansas State?
Go Red Wolves. Arkansas State.
Okay.
Jonesboro.
Now, if it was Arkansas Tech, that would be Chad Klein's team, the former McPherson Bullpup, who I noticed last night won again. He's now 8-1 with the Wonder Boys.
The Wonder Boys.
Russellville. One of the great names in college basketball, the Wonder Boys, makes me think of Robert Redford and his baseball bat Wonder Boy in the movie The Natural. But Wichita State's defense is seeming like sprang a few holes, but they're going to get Marcus McDuffie back pretty soon.
He tweeted last night and said that he's practicing.
Okay, and Marcus McDuffie is a game changer, and it just wonders how he'll fit into the rotation, you know, whose minutes they lose. But the Shockers giving up a lot of points. It's got to be a little disturbing with the conference play just around the corner.
Arkansas Division II teams have some very interesting names. You have the Arkansas Tech Wonder Boys in Russellville. Then you have the University of Arkansas Monticello Boll Weevils. They were on a commercial not that long ago for talking about weird mascots. My aunt has been a teacher there for about 20 years.
Okay.
So my father grew up in that area, so very familiar with the UAM Boll Weevils. Also, Steve, before we get into talk about some Bullpup basketball from last night, the Boca Raton Bowl, it did not disappoint. Florida Atlantic won 50-3 over Akron. I didn't get to see it, but Mr. Lane Kiffin, what a job that he has done down there.
I just saw he signed a 10-year contract. What is the over-under on what year he decides to opt out of his contract? How many years will he be at what Florida Atlantic when there's
the
big
Owls.
When there's big time SEC jobs opening up, Big 12 jobs opening up, Pac-12, you know, the Power 5 conferences, and he's going to stay 10 years at Florida Atlantic? Does anybody really believe he's going to stay 10 years at
I would school? Be shocked if he stays another 2. If he's still the head football coach on September 1st of 2019 and is opening up their season with Western Kentucky or somebody, I will be shocked.
I'd be curious to see what his buyout is. There's got to, you know, to sign a
10-year, it's probably massive.
You got, you know, to sign a 10-year deal, that means you probably have a buyout. If you leave, you've got to pay the school X amount of dollars. I'm sure it's a couple million to be sure, but I'm sure he's got some kind of deal worked out because, you know, he's an odd duck. Let's face it, Lane Kiffin is a rather odd duck. He's bounced around. He was the head coach of the Raiders at age 33, for goodness sakes.
Yeah, that was weird.
And, you know, he was offensive coordinator under Nick Saban. And, you know, I don't think anyone tells Lane Kiffin what to do, much less Nick Saban. So that's why he didn't probably stay at Alabama very long. But really interesting dude. But there's another coach, you know, KU could have probably had. And they bypassed him to get that David Beatty hire.
David Beatty, the recruiting specialist.
Yeah. And, of course, today is the National Signing Day. And it looks like you can basically call the Jayhawks Kansas JUCO Jayhawks because it looks like most of their signings are JUCO guys. And we've seen how that's worked the last couple years.
Yeah, that's a story for another day as the Jayhawk football team continues to miss on some of their big-time recruits from their big-time recruiting specialist coach. Well, anyway, we move on, and we will talk about Bullpup basketball from last night as both teams picked up wins over the Andover Trojans, and now they have 2 weeks off before they will take on the Buehler Crusaders on January the 2nd. We'll take a break. Be back on the other side. You're listening to According to Jim on 96.7 FM, KBBE.
You're listening to the According to Jim podcast with Jim Joyner and Steve Sell. According to Jim is brought to you by Overhead Door Company of North Central Kansas, Meads Liquor, Great Plains Federal Credit Union, and Four Seasons Realtors. You can also listen live Monday through Friday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. on 96.7 FM KBBE or online at midkansasonline.com.
Back on According to Jim, Jim Joyner, Steve Sell here on 96.7 FM, KBBE, or online, midkansasonline.com. And for anybody that has missed the show, you've missed any of the previous 54 shows, you can find us on podcast whenever you want, on demand, on the go, at soundcloud.com/KBBE Sports. Steve, you and I just hit on some of the headlines from today and this morning's news, things that happened from last night. But really, the biggest thing that happened last night in the grand scheme of the entire sports world is that the Bullpup basketball team picked up two wins over the Andover Trojans. The girls made it a little bit more challenging than the boys did because they pulled away and won by 35. But the girls got a really good game from an Andover team that I'm not sure how good they will be for the rest of the year. And going into that game, I wasn't exactly how sure I was about how good that team would be. But one thing that I had in my head was that if the Andover girls shoot it well, then we might be in some trouble.
Puncher's chance.
But my thought at the same time is that if they shoot it well, we're going to shoot it well. And then I figure, well, if Andover doesn't shoot it well, then the Bullpup girls will just roll away with this. But the thing I didn't really account for would be the Bullpup girls not shooting well at all. And so when those two things were just even and how poorly both girls' teams shot, it made it one heck of a game.
Yeah, it really did. And 7 of 30 from three, as I mentioned earlier. Taylor Robertson actually missed a free throw. I thought the roundhouse, everyone in the crowd was just like gasping. And I think Taylor was surprised too because she almost never misses a free throw. You know, it just shows that, you know, sometimes people are human. And the Bullpup girls were human last night. They missed wide open shots that they normally knock down. And, you know, Andover, like you said, they're a team that shoots a lot of threes. And it was kind of like the Abilene girls when we played at Abilene. Abilene came out and hit their first four threes and then I don't think made a three the rest of the game. Well, you know, if Andover would have been really hitting their threes like they normally are, it'd really been an interesting game. But the Bullpups found a way to get it done. 5-1 going into the break with Bueller, you know, on the other side of the break. Bueller not very good. That should be another win for the Bullpups. But this is a team, you know, they're still trying to find their way without Mandy Cooks. And, you know, we got it kind of a little more encouraging news on Mandy last night. She told you she thinks it might be the end of January, 1st of February. You know, that would be great if that's, you know, if she's 100% or at least 85, 90% by then, because she would make such a huge difference for this team. I mean, we're a different style team without her. We have to rely basically on the perimeter game, though her sister Cassie's doing a nice job inside. Maggie Leaf really doing a great job on the boards. And, you know, they've been kind of a 1-2 punch in that position. You know, Coach Stratman said before the season it was going to kind of be post player by committee until Mandy got back, if she got back. But the perimeter players last night, even Taylor, you know, didn't have her usual night. I think she was, what, 8 of 20 from the field last night, scored 20 points. Normally when Taylor takes 20 shots, that's about a 35 or 38-point game for her. But I'll guarantee you, when we play Bueller right after the break, she's going to come out and just absolutely light it up because that's who she is.
I don't want to say I feel bad for Bueller because I don't think anybody in this town feels that way a lot of the time, but it might be a rough night for them. And you look at the first half shooting, 4 out of 21 from 3. Both teams were just chucking it up.
36 three-pointers in the first
half.
That's
a ton.
And no wonder the game moved along. Nobody was taking it to the basket and drawing fouls. But, you know, I never, ever felt McPherson would lose that game. I mean, I just kept thinking, well, this is a nice little game. At least I got something to write about other than a 50-point win like we've had the last few. But anyways, good to see the Bullpups get challenged, and they responded well.
And then in the boys' game, it was such a dominating performance. And I think that you and I have seen this team play enough this year that we know what they can do whenever they're playing their best. And last night wasn't necessarily their best, but boy, they were really good. And when you get such a balanced attack from their big three that we talk about with Jake and Mason Alexander and Ben Pyle, when those three guys can be really balanced and you're not just relying on one of them to make all the shots, it makes them even more deadly.
Yeah, they're, you know, they're averaging 55 points, I think, between the, among the three of them. And last night, I think it was 19-19-18. So I think, what's that? My math.
Is that 56?
56, it sounds like to me. But, yeah, and, you know, Drew Labertue and Thomas Diggs, I said in my column, they're the quintessential role players because they don't mind not scoring. They do all the dirty work. They play the great defense, fight for the loose balls. But, man, I'll tell you, the year of maturity for this team, it's just staggering to see how much more physical, you know, how much better we jump and run and shoot. It's just that year of maturity has made such a difference.
Well, just compare it to this time from a year ago.
Yeah, that's what
At
I'm saying.
At this time, they were 3-3. They had just lost to an Andover team, 51-48. And here we are a year later, and they beat that team by 35. Now, it was a different team, but 1 year makes a huge difference.
And I look at a guy like Ben Pyle. He is so much more explosive than last year. I mean, he hasn't put on a lot of weight per se, but he looks like he's putting on a little muscle. But boy, the way he just explodes off the floor, and for a 6'8" guy to handle the ball like he does, behind the back, between the legs, no look passes, he can see over the top of the defense. His assists have gone way up. I mean, he's got a chance. He and Mason Alexander both have a chance at the assist record. I'm not sure what it is. I know that it's been kept, I think, since about when Coach Kinnaman got here, he's kept records. I think Mike Henson had records too, but those guys could challenge the single season assist record because there's going to be so many baskets. And then the guy that just really benefits is Jake Alexander.
Yeah.
I mean, he doesn't have to do anything but just wait for Mason and Ben to make the pass. He gets wide open looks, but he's showing a lot more aggressiveness and attacking the rim. You know, last night he took the ball, the basket hard. You know, he's had double figures every single game, and he's just going to get great look after great look because the defenses are collapsing so much on Ben and Mason that Jake's getting wide open. And, boy, he's knocking some shots down. He's averaging about, 14, 15 points a game. You have three legitimate first-team class 4A All-Staters on one team. And then the other two would probably be Jeremiah Robinson Earl and Joshua Early, though we didn't see the best Early, although the Lopes kid to me was their second best player. I haven't figured out what the hullabaloo about Josh Early is, but Bruce Weber seems to like him because he goes
in his sweater vest.
Yeah, goes and watches him play all the time. But this is a bullpup team, I believe, on a neutral court is the best team in 4A Division I. I still think they're better than Miege. Hopefully we'll get a chance to prove that.
I was laughing last night whenever Ben Pyle got that pass over on the baseline in the first half, and he beat his defender on the first step. And so you knew he was going to have a chance to go up for a big-time dunk. And then their tallest player stepped over and tried to get in front of him. And Ben probably took off from a little bit too far out, but just jumped into the air, put his left foot into the chest of the defender, and went up and had the Blake Griffin phantom dunk where he threw it in without really touching the rim, but it was a dunk and one.
Yeah, he was like the Elastic Man.
He stepped on the guy's sternum.
Yeah. Well, I was sitting there, though, as I wrote my column, Ryan Herz, former bullpup, then played 4 years at Wichita State, started for the Shockers. I didn't get a chance to talk to him after the game, but I was just wondering what was going through his head because I'm sure he remembers those bullpup days. He was on that 91 team that when we talked about the game with Garden City, Garden City came in talking smack, and we put down a 63-point beatdown in the first half on them. And Ryan Herz had to be thinking, man, this reminds me of my bullpup days when we were scoring about 87 points a game, it seemed like.
Yeah, not bad. Okay, so both teams beat Andover last night, and they are both now 5-1. Steve and I will talk about what is next for them over the break, over the next 2 weeks, on the other side of the break here on According to Jim on 96.7 FM KBBE.
You're listening to the According to Jim podcast with Jim Joyner and Steve Sell. According to Jim is brought to you by Overhead Door Company of North Central Kansas, Mead's Liquor, Great Plains Federal Credit Union, and Four Seasons Realtors. You can also listen live Monday through Friday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. on 96.7 FM KBBE or online at midkansasonline.com.
Wrapping up today's According to Jim on 96.7 FM KBBE, Jim Joyner and Steve Sell joining you here on a gloomy Wednesday afternoon. Steve, I don't know if you'll be able to get any
sun therapy. No.
I don't know if you'll be able to get any golf in today. A little chilly.
Well, I've had a chill all day.
Man, you've been kind of feeling sick.
Tired. Exhausted.
Okay, yeah, that'll work too.
Yeah.
I've been a little bit tired too, but you and I, we get a 2-week break off from doing games. And we'll have a little bit of break with the According to Jim show, and we'll work those details out a little bit more toward the end of the week with the holiday break coming up, and we're figuring all that out. But also, both Bullpup basketball teams with a 2-week break until they play again on January the 2nd. Both coaches, Kurt Kinnaman as well as Coach Chris Strathman, they are pretty good about giving the teams a good time off, and especially for the guys who played football on the boys' side. They are in desperate need of a break because some of those guys are aching a little bit. And I think 2 weeks off from any really hardcore physical activity will be really good for them.
Yeah, and the bus, you know, Jace Kinnaman.
The bus.
Yeah.
Kyler, he had his Dwight Howard shoulder wrap on last
night. Looking good. Kyler Hoppus, Jace Alexander, Labertude Diggs. Those guys, their bodies really could use the break, and it'll be good to see. They're going to have about 8 days off from what I've been able to gather. So they'll crank it back up. Like I said in my column, I think the Bullpups probably wish they could have played Bueller right before the, you know, say
like Friday.
Like Friday, this Friday. But because the way they're playing, you want to play them when you're really hot. Now you have the long layoff and you wonder how you're going to come back from the layoff. Bueller, boys, I saw they lost to Newton, which is no shame there with Ty Berry. Ty Berry, one of the state's best players. But anyway, they'll come back on the 2nd, and I know both coaches aren't real happy about playing on the 2nd. They just assumed it was the 5th for the first game, but man, they stuck that game in on January 2nd, so you're going to have a lot of football the day before.
Oh, yeah.
And then a lot of basketball on the 2nd.
And Steve, sort of the talk around town besides the Bullpup basketball teams, the Elyria Christian teams are rolling, and you said in, I think, the area roundup this morning, that for anybody that didn't know if the Elyria boys were the real deal yet, well, last night proved it in their win over Little River.
Yeah, down at the Eagle Dome. That was supposed to be the big test for the Elyria boys. They were undefeated going in. They had beaten Little River earlier in the year, but this was the one where, you know, Little River was playing really well. Elyria Christian wins 62-40 on the boys' side. Little River girls have been playing well, even without their best player, Melanie Rankin, out with a foot injury. Hopefully she'll be back soon after Christmas. But the Elyria girls lost to Little River. And then also in the area, a big matchup was the Mound Ridge boys. Sterling Vance Unrau had told me Sterling is the class of the Heart of America. And they kind of showed it last night. They jumped on the Wildcats early. Mound Ridge played them pretty even the rest of the way, but I saw that Mound Ridge team. That's a team that's getting better and better. They got a sophomore center, the Helms kid, Brady Helms, doing a good job. Of course, Noah Eichelberger, one of the best players in 2A, and maybe the most sensational performance last night, Peyton Fraze of Inman, 34 points. I think he had like 6 rebounds, 6 steals, and his dad, the coach, Brett Fraze, says, yeah, he was pretty good.
He was all right.
Yeah, I think he was a little better than that. So, you know, it's a little hard, you know, for a coach and you're coaching your son to say, man, my son was a stud, but he really was last night. But Coach Fraze said, yeah, he was pretty good. So a lot of good area games that went on last night.
Steve, what are we going to do for the next 2 weeks?
Well, I am actually going to be kind of in and out next week. I haven't quite figured out my schedule yet, but I actually have the week off. But I may come in and do some shows, you know, that kind of get yourself out of the house. Get my juices flowing for the rest of the day.
Yeah.
So right now I think I'll probably end up coming in and doing the shows. But basically I'm off next week. I haven't had but 3 days off all year, and I'm ready for a bit of a recharge because January, man,
Woo! Man,
does January kick in. You know, we got high school, we got college games, we got a lot of wrestling, bowling.
Oh,
high school bowling team gets going.
Hey,
Clayton Ouellette, he can put up some big numbers. You know, he makes those pins just fly. So
I'm just waiting on Starlight Lanes to give me a membership there because I'm pretty good.
Okay, well, when I was at KU, we used to go bowling every Friday is after we got out of class for a couple hours. Of course, it was 50-cent beer, you know, at the bowling alley.
You wouldn't like that, would you?
Oh, well, but I did, you know, we did a lot of bowling up there on Friday, but I haven't bowled probably since I was in college.
Was that at Royal Crest Lanes up there in Lawrence?
No, it was something else. You had Jay Watson's, you know, one of our favorite watering holes right next to it. Yeah. So anyway, yeah. But yeah, we did a lot of kegling in our days, and then kegging afterwards.
All right. Well, that'll wrap up today's show. For Steve Sell, I'm Jim Joyner. This has been According to Jim, and we'll see you tomorrow afternoon.
According to Jim with Jim Joyner was brought to you by Overhead Door Company of North Central Kansas, Meade Liquor, Great Plains Federal Credit Union, and Four Seasons Realtors. Make sure to listen to According to Jim every weekday from 1230 to 1 p.m. right here on 96.7 FM KBBE.